Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun relates to you having your happier, healthy relationship with money. I want to welcome you to the show. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing us with your friends and families. We're almost 800,000 listeners and going strong. So thank you very, very much. This week, we're going to be talking about college finals are happening across the country as we speak, which is very cool. We have Mark Congdon. He's the author of Ideal Life. But right now, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the bond world. This is another component that's going to directly affect your lifestyle, but not too many people are talking about it. So what's going on in the bond world? How does it disrupt that traditional 60-40 portfolio? Why are bonds so volatile? Where are bonds heading? Let me share you why this is so important. Through time, bonds were the equalizer in a portfolio. However, volatility has taken over the bond market. Volatility in the market is not caused by economic growth. Over the past 2 years, the macroeconomic outlook has actually become steadier. It's not due to increased volatility in the equities markets. Equity market volatility, believe it or not, has been lower than bonds. Probably not even increased volatility in inflation expectations. And the 10-year TIPS have stayed in a narrow band since September of 2022. What is probably having a greater or the greatest effect on bond volatility is a huge volume of government debt that needs to be refinanced today. Short-term rates with overnight rates above 5% and long-term rates significantly lower. Many long-term investors are trying to tactically switch in and out of short-term bonds, which adds to volatility, hypersensitivity to the Fed. The Fed is kind of in a zero inflation tolerance. So any rise in inflation sensitivity of the Fed will create volatility. This is why it's so important that we have an understanding of the aspects of your money. Is it your purpose money or your performance money? Now, performance money, this is your legacy money. This money has no obligation to you whatsoever. If the market goes up, if it goes down, it doesn't matter because it won't affect your lifestyle. In fact, time is the ally of performance money. With all the economic viruses that are going now, maybe in the future, providing God gives you time, we will all endure and recover from the virus. Your purpose money, on the other hand, this is the money that's 100% obligated to you. It's obligated to pay your bills, support your lifestyle, make sure you have the retirement, go on those vacations. Time is the enemy of your purpose money because you need it now. If you don't have an antidote to protect your purpose-driven money, money that's 100% obligated to you, it's going to get you and it's going to affect your lifestyle. So it's really important that you pay attention to that moving forward with all the craziness that's happening right now. With that, you're going to stick with us. We're going to be right back. I'll be introducing you to Mark Condon. Lovely book. You're going to want to listen to this. We'll talk to you in just a few moments.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show today. We were talking a little bit before about what's going on with the bond market, but now we're going to talk about something really special. College finals, they're happening across the country. Soon, many of those people taking those finals will be graduating. Mom and dad, everybody, they'll be attending graduation ceremonies. As college grads transition in the work world, the pressure to perform and meet expectations, whether it's their own or their employers can be intense. A four-year education doesn't automatically adequately prepare graduates to handle the demands and disappointments they'll experience. Now, even success brings a challenge. We have Mark Congdon here. He's the author of The Ideal Life, 7 Steps to Harness Your Stress, Discover Your Purpose, and Achieve Your Goals. We're really grateful he's here because he's going to talk about what's going on with all this. We've got a great set of questions to help understand what's going on there. And with that, I want to welcome Mark to our show.
Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, I was actually teaching a high school class this morning with students who are mainly seniors. So they're getting ready to go to college. And some of the ideas I think we'll talk about today can really help students as they transition towards college or towards their career. But really, it's about the transitions that all humans go through. Life's always the seasons of moving from one thing to the next. And our inner reward system is designed to adapt to that, but also struggle with it. So I'm excited to talk about some of those ideas with you today.
Yeah, let's start with the very first one. I love the statement that I first saw when I was reading your information. And it says, there is a lie that we all tell ourselves. Happiness can only come from achieving our goals and getting what we want. And you said, you need more things and then you'll be happy. Keeping up with the Joneses, all that kind of stuff creates a lot of pressure. Could you kind of unpack that for us?
Yeah, well, the reason why I call it one of the biggest lies we tell ourselves is because, again, it comes back to our inner reward system that I mentioned earlier. So we are designed to pursue goals. And when we do that, a really powerful chemical is released, dopamine, which encourages us to pursue our goals and rewards us as we finish them. But dopamine is essentially stops after we achieve our goal. So from an evolutionary standpoint, our goal was pretty simple. It was survival and reproduction. And so, like, for example, if you think about eating, that's a key component to survival. When you think about food, you're motivated to go find it. As you eat it, there's pleasure from that. That's dopamine. We do the same thing today in our modern society, whereas we look at the actual goals we want to achieve, we put our focus on that, and it works up until a point. As we work towards that goal, we get dopamine, it helps us pursue it. And as we achieve it, then we're rewarded for that. But unless we can see how that goal connects to the next one, then we're actually setting ourselves up for a dopamine crash that leaves a void where cortisol comes in to replace our energy need. Cortisol leads to stress and anxiety and stressful thinking. And so, like we talk about, maybe college students going and getting a job. Well, their goal right now is to pass their finals and to get that degree. And that's been working for them. But then they might think that going to their career into the real world is what causes their stress after that. But really, it's the fact that they didn't really properly plan for how their degree fits into them becoming the type of person they want to be. And then carrying that on to setting goals in their work that, again, relates to the kind of person they want to be. So in all areas, if we can relate our goals to a longer term goal that we can never fully achieve, which is the type of person we ultimately want to end up as, that will allow us to still pursue getting what we want and getting the dopamine reward from that, but avoiding the crash that comes as we hit those milestone steps and allow us to have a sustainably joyful life throughout those different seasons.
That's wonderfully put. I'm just thinking through that. It's like, wow, I could have used that about 40 years ago. Obviously, staying balanced, it just makes a happier life. And everybody doesn't get that because me growing up, getting out of high school in the early 80s, it was all about achievement, exceeding the goals and buying this and buying that and so on and so forth. Yep. And for some people, that leads to anxiety, depression, substance abuse, all sorts of things.
Those sorts of things are not inherently bad. They're not bad for our mental state. They're not bad for our body to think about the achievements we want to make on the path towards success. The challenge with those is when we put too much of our focus on the next step and too much of our focus on the things that we actually want to achieve rather than on the type of person that those achievements will help us become. And again, it all comes down to the same. It's a chemical process there. It's a dopamine reward system because your brain needs to think about the future and how you're going to get there. Those are the goals. Those are the achievements and they help. But if we shorten our mindset to just the next goal, the midlife crisis is essentially a medium-term dopamine reward structure where you look at your career and at the beginning of that, the things you want to achieve, the positions you want to get, even the way you want to help people. But as you get closer towards retirement, when you realize that you've either achieved those goals or they're running out, then you start to get that breakdown in dopamine. So again, it's about celebrating the wins as they come and not shying away from achievement, but balancing that with why you're achieving those things and how you can continue that mindset into your 80s, 90s, all the way through your life.
Since the focus today was about talking about graduates, how would new graduates go about creating an ideal long-term vision for themselves? Mm-hmm. I mean, when I graduated, it's okay, I want to get a job, want to make a lot of money, I want to get this car. That's what I thought.
Yeah. So when we work directly with students, like for example, this class that I'm teaching this semester, it's a 10-week class. And we use our I Got This framework that I talk about in the book as the structure for that. So seven classes in the structure of that semester are based on each one of the seven elements of the ideal. But you can go through that thought process in a shorter time frame. The first step is the ideal. That's identifying the type of person you want to become. And there's lots of ways to do that. For example, our framework gives a step-by-step process where we first start with vision statements, thinking about each life role that we have and what we want to be said about that over the course of our life, and then breaking those sentences down into core values, a mission statement, and a personal mantra. But there's all kinds of ways. There's imagining your own funeral and writing a eulogy. There's thinking about maybe a newspaper article written about you in your 80s and what it would say. But it all comes down to thinking about way in the future, what kind of person do you want to be? And then we back that up into what we call dream, horizon, and milestone goals. Those are the achievable things spaced out in long, medium, and short-term timeframes, respectively. But the key to all of it comes taking all of those things that you want to happen or you want to have outcomes with, and then finding out what are the controllable actions that you can take that drive you forward. So we think about that in two steps, the objectives, which are like the one-time projects, the steps that you want to achieve that you do control, and then also the task, which is the habits that you wanted to develop to live into the identity of your ideal. So it's habit formation and also outcome-based things. So those seven steps, the ideal all the way through to the task, is essentially how you can develop a growth mindset for yourself. And as you do that, that unlocks the maximum amount of benefit from your inner reward system. So just to summarize and bring it back to the college student, shouldn't avoid the stress that they're having around their exam or the things that they want to achieve with their finals or getting that diploma. But what's the next horizon goal? What are they going to do with that degree? Is it to get a job, maybe in accounting or in finance or in operations or sales, whatever that is? That's great. Well, what's a dream goal? Like, what do you want to do in that career? What kind of impact do you want to make? Figure that out too. But then take that a step forward and say, why do you want to do those things? What is it about the impact you want to make in the world that you would want to be a salesperson or, you know, work for a manufacturing company or whatever it is? And so it's not taking your eye off of what's next this week, studying for your finals, or just fully focusing on the type of person you want to be, what your purpose is. It's seeing the path that's laid out all the way in the future. So it really comes down to some intentional journaling, thinking, and planning, and then getting back to what you were doing anyway in the moment, but now with a better mindset that can maximize the release of dopamine during and after those achievements.
The other part that I like about what you said is controllable steps.
Mm-hmm.
So doing things to develop skills, abilities, and all those type of things to help somebody get there. A lot of times people's, hey, this is my goal, but they have no clue how to break it down in bite-sized pieces and control what they need to do to get to the next level. Or
yeah.
The next step.
And that controllable nature is key, both from what we've seen to be maximizing the odds of you being successful, but also from a psychological standpoint. So there's two key psychological theories that our framework is based on. One is deliberate practice, which was coined by Anders Ericsson. He was called the expert on experts, and his research is the basis for Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hour rule, if any of your listeners are familiar with that. The other theory is flow, which was Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, who found that when we enter flow states, those are the happiest moments of our life. That's when we're fully in the zone, where time seems to either stand still or speed up. And when we come out of it, we realize, oh, wow, I didn't really know that I was doing it for that long. So the interesting thing about both deliberate practice, where we're growing, and flow, where we're appreciating what we're doing, is both of them primarily depend on full control, full focus of your mind on what you are doing in the moment. Now, both of those need to be connected to a meaningful goal that you're working towards, but without full focus and control over what you're doing, you can't achieve either deliberate practice or flow. And both of those combined are essential to a growth mindset and the benefits that come from that. So at the end of the day, the uncontrollable things that we have are key to seeing how your controllable actions will lead towards future outcomes. But without those controllable actions, you'll never get there. Your brain knows that, you can't trick it. So you won't get the chemicals you're looking for without actually executing on the controllables.
Mark, this is wonderful. Stick with us, everybody. We're going to be right back with more Mark Harmon.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton, on UK Health Radio.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I'm going to get right to it because we don't have a ton of time. We have Mark Condon here, the author of The Ideal Life. We're talking about college graduates here. This is what you want to listen to. You can go to Amazon. It's a number one bestseller on Amazon. It's called The Ideal Life. Author Mark Condon, 7 Steps to Harness Your Stress, Discover Your Purpose, and Achieve Your Goals. And I just keep thinking while you're talking, I go, oh my, I got to get my kids this. My daughter graduated last year. She's got a very nice job. My son graduated the year before. He's done very well, but they're very focused on achieving those goals. But my fear is they're focused on those business goals and not other things. So that's one of the reasons why I thought they're going to get your book.
I appreciate that. I'm actually working with schools through our company now. These are the types of ideas you can start teaching at a preschool level. What I mean is growth mindset, and it's controlling the things you can control to become the type of person you want to be. Now, the language you use with 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds is different and very basic than what you might use with high schoolers, college graduates, and adults. But I think that this is an idea that if you can instill at a young age, it takes care of everything else. It's going to help outcomes in school. It's going to help outcomes in work. It's going to help outcomes in relationships and all the things that we all deal with throughout our life. So I have a passion for trying to bring this to as many people as possible in any demographic, really.
One of the questions I really like you to answer, and this is more for people who've been around for a while, is why did none of your many achievements make your stress disappear? Mm-hmm. Because when I put this out to our listeners, they're like, hey, this is, you know, I'm here. This is me. So I was wondering if you could share that with us.
So one of the reasons why I developed this company, because most of my career and where I achieved most of my success was in the transportation logistics industry. And I developed this framework for myself over time. But then when I realized why it worked and started sharing it with others, I knew I wanted to really devote my life to this. But the reason I started working on these ideas was because I've dealt with really serious stress and anxiety my whole life. And that has dipped into depression and back out of it. And it's something that's been really a big problem for me. Some of that's genetic, but some of it are also the things that all people deal with. And for me, what I found, even at a young age, there was always this question of what's next that really led to my anxiety. And so like when I was a kid, it was, well, maybe when I get my driver's license, then I can get out of the house and then all my problems will be answered. After that, it was graduating and going to college and, you know, developing a new social circle. After that, it was graduating and getting a job. I got myself into a lot of debt, got up to $20,000 in debt. It was maybe if I can become financially free, then that will happen. When that happened, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And even getting married and having kids, those have been sustainable sources of joy for me. But even like getting married and having kids didn't make my stress go away. And what I realized was I always thought that there was some one outcome in the future that just once that happened, then everything would be fine. And sometimes in the moment, I would feel better, but then the stress would come back. And that's where eventually I realized this is the dopamine trap, where those next steps kind of got me going until it. But because I couldn't connect them to how they fit together for my life plan, after those would come, I would actually be worse off. Because the dopamine gap of me not knowing what the next step was led to cortisol flowing in, which added to the anxiety. So that's how this mini achievement path that I thought was the answer for me didn't work. Ultimately, the way that I was able to start balancing that and creating more joy for myself was really getting intimately connected to my personal ideal, the type of person I want to be, and articulating that in statements and tools that help me remind myself why the goals I'm working towards are moving me towards that vision.
Well, and I can actually relate to that back in my early part of my career. You know, I'd working my rear end off all week, and I have the weekend, and on Sunday, I was kind of depressed to go back to work.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when I said, okay, best thing ever happened to me, I went and created my own situation to where I could now have the time with my family and do the things that I want to do, even say, hey, I'm done at 5, all that kind of stuff. It just made a better life. But the cool thing is, like what you're saying is, if we can have kids understand this now, they can have less stress, more purpose, happiness, more sense of self of what you really want. Because a lot of times when you work for somebody else, it's about what they want, not what you want. Sometimes people have to put themselves aside and be a certain person at where they work because that's what's required. Does that make sense?
It does. And I love how you talked about how one thing that's helped you is being with your family. And so it all comes down to the way we look at our goals and the way we can connect them together. Earlier, you talked about balance. Now, a lot of times we think about goals and that word as related to our work, a lot of times related to our health, like we're going to set a goal to run a 5K or something. But a lot of times we don't think about how the goals we set within our faith, the goals we set within our relationships, the goals we set within our network of friends and our community. We can also set goals in those things too. And when we do that, we're getting the same exact chemicals that we get when we pursue work goals or finance goals, things. And so rather than become putting too many eggs in our basket within one life role and setting all of our goals around that, by taking the time throughout the week, maybe on weekends, to think about, okay, now I'm pursuing a goal in this category of my life, you get to balance out the things. So maybe if you don't perfectly connect what you're doing in your work to your ideal and you have those gaps can be balanced in by, hey, I am working towards this new goal and I'm making myself uncomfortable and practicing how to be a better father, how to be a better husband. And so those all work together to create a joyful life. So it's a good strategy to take.
You know, I know you're doing a whole bunch of research for this. So when you look at your key findings of your research, why high achieving people are unhappy? And this is coming from a bunch of different people who have the very successful husbands.
You know, to answer that story. And so one of the things I did when I started The Ideal Life was I went and got a industrial organizational psychology degree from Harvard. That's essentially the psychology of people and how they work in teams. And so a lot of the science, but also the research that we've done with people point to exactly what you're saying. But I think the most impactful way to answer your question is actually through a story, the story of Michael Phelps. When you think about high achieving people, there's not much more high achieving you can get than Michael Phelps. He's considered to be one of the greatest athletes of all time. And what he did from an early age is he set a goal, which was winning a gold medal, and looked at everything he did through that lens, what he ate, the people he hang out with, all of those things. And that worked for him. And it drove him to be motivated and happy. And eventually he not only achieved his goal of winning a gold medal, but he ended up setting all the records and getting to the point where he couldn't do anything more. Now, what happened after he did that? He came home, he went into his room, and he thought about ending his life. And he didn't know why. He slipped into a terrible depression. He got caught on social media smoking weed a couple times, lost all his sponsors, got two DUIs, got arrested for them. And he got to the point where he couldn't even look at a swimming pool without getting nauseous. Well, he went into a mental rehabilitation center. When he came out, he said, I broke myself down to answer this question, who am I outside the swimming pool? And when he came back, he said, I have a new goal. It's to help people around the world with their mental health. That's a goal that can never be fully achieved. He can work his entire life working on that. That's an ideal goal. But the amazing thing is he went and actually continued to achieve at a high level. He went back to another Olympics and won more gold medals. And so by taking that long-term vision, he didn't actually lower his ability to achieve. He just balanced it out. You can see the same thing with other high achievers like astronauts, Buzz Aldrin, second person to walk on the moon, came back and became an alcoholic because he said, I've been to the moon, now what? So you can see with high achievers, same thing in work and career and all kinds of areas of life, they have the same issue. It's not about stopping achievement. It's not about taking the priority away from achievement even. It's just making sure that those achievements are connected to a goal so far in the future that you can never run out of it. And ultimately, the only way to do that is, again, to think about what type of person do you want to be at the end of your life?
So at the end of the day, basically what you're saying is your achievement should just be a journey that never ends.
That's exactly right. And that's where, you know, it can seem like, oh man, that's just this endless grind, but that's where flow comes in, because the inevitable outcome of deliberately practicing your ideal is that at regular intervals, as you grow, your brain gives you the reward of flow. And when you're in flow, your prefrontal cortex shuts down, which is where you measure time. While you're in flow, you essentially can't think about the future or the past. You're fully in the present. And so even though it seems like, oh, there's this endless grind and that's going to make me happy, you'll find that along the way, you fully appreciate the present. And it's this amazing kind of back and forth that I think is one of the most beautiful ways that we were created. And so it's a fun journey.
Hey, Mark, I want to thank you for being here today. This has been wonderful. I know you've got a program, a webinar coming up. I'd love for you to share that with our listeners. Also love for you to share how people can connect with you online. And where would be the best place where people can get your book?
Absolutely. So Amazon's the best place to get the book. You can also buy it from our website, theidealife.com. And that's where you can access all of our resources. So the book, The Ideal Life, is the psychology and the stories behind why the framework is effective, but it doesn't teach you the step-by-step process to do it. If you'd like to learn about that, we have an online workshop run by one of our many coaches in our community, where you can come and in 4 hours, walk through an entire setup of your ideal identification and the full I Got This framework for yourself. Again, you can go to theidealife.com to access that. And if you are a coach, and whether it's work or finance or you're a health coach, We have a community where you can join and become certified in how to facilitate this framework within the work that you already do. Again, if you're interested in that, you can find that information also on our website.
Mark, again, I want to thank you for joining us. I'm thinking right now, maybe we should have you back in a little while, if that's okay. And next time I'd like to have our viewers list more questions and give you those in advance, because that might be a little more fun, because then it might be a little more specific. But this has been wonderful. And I want to thank you for being here and being part of the show.
That would be fantastic. I've loved being here and I love what you're doing with this show. And, you know, I mentioned we have a community of coaches. A lot of them are financial planners and other wealth coaches. And I'd love to dive deeper into some of the work that we're doing to help people save money, become financially free, and again, connect those goals to who they are as a person.
Mark, this has been wonderful.
Likewise, we have a collection of podcasts as well that partner with us where we promote their podcasts on our website. They have to be in some way connected to helping people improve in one of their life roles, which it certainly would be. So if you'd be interested in us also linking and promoting your podcast on our site, we'd be happy to do that as well.
I would love that.
Thank you. See ya.
All right, see ya. Wasn't that wonderful? Mark Congdon, you want to go to Amazon. You want to check out that book. Go to the website. That's a wonderful book, The Ideal Life. In fact, like I said during the show, I'm going to be making sure my kids get it. That's it with me. This is Steve Saxton with Saving with Steve. And with that, have a wonderful weekend. Look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve. See you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Saxton on UK Health Radio. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Saxton on UK Health Radio.